Welcome to another episode of Dakota Spotlight. I really appreciate you listening and would like you to know about Spotlight Plus. It is a subscription to Dakota Spotlight that provides bonus content, early access, and ad-free listening, all while supporting my work and the show you love. You can subscribe right in the Apple Podcasts app or visit dakotaspotlight.com. You're listening to Dakota Spotlight, a production of Forum Communications. My name is James Wallner. This is a short update episode with some new information about Season 7, Call Me Shelley, The Mysterious Disappearance of Michelle Juulsen. If you're not fully caught up with all the episodes of Season 7, you may want to go back and listen to those first.
How would you get abducted from 140 American to 300 block East Broadway without somebody seeing it on a Tuesday afternoon?
I think something happened to her. I think somebody took her.
You need to call the police, and you need to get yourself a protection order.
Burnt Creek Club.
Bartender at the Burnt Creek
Club. Told her anytime after 2 o'clock she could stop by and pick him up, and she never did show.
And I was specifically looking for that car, Shelley's car.
Was one of the group allegedly harassing Shelley at the bar.
But there was two railroad workers, and I thought they talked to one.
I'm recording this in late November 2022. Here in the U.S., it is the week of Thanksgiving. Many of you are quite possibly getting your home and kitchen in order, preparing for an influx of relatives. Or perhaps you're listening to this on the road, headed back home to family or friends. If you are on the road, that's a fitting place to be for this episode, as we are going to be talking a lot about roads, specifically red roads in the countryside. Wherever you are, though, on this holiday season, let me take this opportunity to give my thanks to you. Thank you for listening to this season and to Dakota Spotlight. Without you, there is no podcast. As I said, this is a short update about Shelley Juulsen. Some information came my way last week that I can only sum up like this. Once I got the information, and once I connected it with something else in Shelley's cold case file, I heard myself saying out loud, "Huh, that's interesting." And if something is interesting enough for me to say that out loud, well, I want to share it with you too. Now, I suppose I should say that this is nothing earth-shattering, really. It might not be something that will immediately blow Shelley's case wide open or anything like that, but it's definitely something that might point us in the right direction, maybe point us down the right road. So, here we go. You will recall that Shelley's car was found in the parking lot of the Comfort Inn Hotel 6 days after she was last seen. You may also recall that weeks later, when Bismarck PD returned Shelley's Ford Thunderbird to her father, Wes Juulsen, he took note of some things. Clues, you might say. One thing Wes noticed was that there was a lot of red dirt on the car's manifold, specifically something referred to locally as scoria. Here in western North Dakota, you become accustomed to seeing vehicles covered, sometimes caked, in a red clay or soot or soil.
I see that in Bismarck all the time. I see vehicles in parking lots or that I pass on the street that are covered with clinker or scoria dust.
This is Ed Murphy. He's a geologist for the state of North Dakota and assistant director of geological survey for the Department of Mineral Resources. I reached out to Ed Murphy because if this North Dakota red stuff is some kind of clue in Shelley's case, well, I wanted to learn more about what it is and where it's found. The first thing I learned about North Dakota scoria is that scoria is not the proper name.
You know, we try to stay away from that. It's a volcanic term, and so we try to get people to use the term clinker, but scoria is so embedded that it's quite often a losing cause.
Okay, so you say scoria, I say clinker. Whatever it's called, what is it, and where is it?
Roughly the western half of North Dakota has lignite, a soft coal, and that coal is then present through in 21 of the 53 counties in North Dakota. And where it's present at the surface over millions of years, it's likely burned in many of these areas. And when it burns, the heat from that burning lignite bakes the rocks above it. And that is what forms clinker or what's commonly known as scoria.
Clinker or scoria is used for various things. For example, it's used as an alternative to gravel on country roads. You know you're traveling on clinker when you suddenly get the sensation that you are a drone on the planet Mars. Instead of a gray gravel surface, this stuff is red, or at least reddish. Unfortunately, this stuff has some drawbacks.
It's not a fantastic material. It breaks down pretty quickly. It generates a lot of dust, and so you then get that dust in wheel wells and through other parts of a vehicle.
Other parts of the vehicle, such as under the hood and on the manifold of Shelley Juulsen's car in August of 1994. Hello, dear listener. This is James, host of Dakota Spotlight, inviting you to subscribe to Spotlight Plus. For as little as $5 per month, you will get the warm feeling of supporting the show and also unlock access to bonus episodes, get the episodes early, and listen ad-free. That's right, no more ads. Apple users can subscribe to Spotlight Plus Standard right in the Apple Podcasts app. If you want to dive deeper and get even more exclusive benefits, subscribe to Spotlight Plus Premium or Spotlight Plus Ultimate. Go to dakotaspotlight.com for more details. Whenever I've taken a country drive out here, I've noticed some roads are red and some are plain old gravel. I asked Ed Murphy why that is.
It depends on, you know, they don't want to haul this material very far. That's where the cost comes in. And so I've seen that through other counties in western North Dakota where probably most of the county is clinker or scoria on the roads, but you'll get into areas where you'll have regular gravel. And vice versa, in areas where you maybe predominantly have gravel in most of the county, then in some areas you'll have scoria just because they've got a local pit.
And apparently the local pits of this stuff don't last forever. So a road that was covered with clinker in 1994 might be a regular gravel road today. In 1994, Wes Juulsen posed the question, where did Shelley's car pick up scoria dust? The answer would seem to be somewhere in western North Dakota, and likely in an area that had a local scoria pit nearby at the time. Whenever I've pondered this scoria clue, my mind has always wandered west of Bismarck and towards the Badlands and Montana. I've always speculated that if someone did harm Shelley, and perhaps disposed of her body, it was out west, that is, further west than the capital city of Bismarck, which lies just a little bit left of the center of the state. But that perception changed last week when I was contacted by this man.
Yeah, my name's Ray Dingman. I live in Bismarck, North Dakota, and I'm a retired Burley County Sheriff's Department deputy. Currently teaching criminal justice at United Tribes Technical College in Bismarck.
Ray has listened to Season 7 of Dakota Spotlight, and when he heard about the Burnt Creek Club and the scoria dust on Shelley's car, something came to mind.
Yeah, well, when I heard that, we have an area northwest Burley County, be southwest of Wilton, west of Baldwin up in that area, that there was scoria used on our gravel roads up in that area. It's a very remote area of the county, strictly farmland. And being that she was missing from the Bismarck area and the vehicle was unaccounted for a few days, I just thought that was pretty interesting and that it possibly could have been driving around right here northwest of Bismarck.
And in relation to the Burnt Creek Club, where would this area be?
It would be approximately probably 10 to 12 miles north and then west of Highway 83, between Highway 83 and Highway 1804 north.
Okay, so perhaps Shelley's car wouldn't need to travel further west to pick up this red stuff. It could be found right here, just 15 minutes north of the Burnt Creek Club. So while I had Ray on the phone, I opened Google Maps and I asked him to guide me to this area of Burley County where this red scoria was used to surface dirt roads.
That road goes west all the way to the river, all the way to 1804 north.
Okay, I got to look here. I got the map now. Let's see. They
could be cruising. At one point, he says, do you see the town of Baldwin? And then something like, yeah, so directly west of Baldwin, and so on. And I don't know exactly what happened to me, but the name of the town maybe stirred a sleeping brain cell or something. I thought, where have I heard that name before? Wasn't there something in Shelley's big old cold case file about Baldwin, North Dakota? So after speaking with Ray, I went back to Shelley's lengthy file and started all over again, looking for a reference to Baldwin. And I was right. I found a short Bismarck PD note from Friday, August 5th, 1994, 3 days after Shelley went missing. On that first Friday, Bismarck Tribune and other media reported on Shelley's disappearance. The public was given a description of Shelley and the circumstances of her last sighting, and they were also asked to keep an eye out for her blue Ford Thunderbird. That afternoon, at around 3 p.m., Detective Walls gets a phone call from someone who has seen the reporting on Shelley's case and wants to offer a tip. The caller, a woman named Connie Small, tells Walls that she lives in rural Burley County on a farm, and that very morning she had seen a car she thinks looks like Shelley's drive right past her farmyard. She tells Walls that the car stereo was on very loud and people were laughing and carrying on. Two people in the front seat and at least one person, but possibly more, in the back seat. And of course, Detective Walls asks Connie Small, where do you live? Her answer, 3 miles east and 4 miles north of Baldwin, North Dakota. And that's when I heard myself say out loud, huh, that's interesting. The next day, I called Ray back and I told him about this coincidence, if it is a coincidence, that he had mentioned the area around Baldwin, North Dakota, and there was at least a potential sighting of Shelley's car there.
Well, it's pretty interesting that it's that close. Then the Small farm, you know, I know approximately where it's at. I don't know if Small still live in that area, but you could easily be driving the roads up there and come back and forth across Highway 83 and go right past that farm. And, you know, that would put the vehicle, if it was that vehicle, of course, in that area.
Well, let me ask you, so what's it like driving up there? You've been all around the county then when you were working as a deputy. If someone wanted to harm someone and then do something with the body up in that area, would it be difficult to hide, or what's your thoughts on that?
No, especially that northwest part of Burley County. Once you get, you know, probably 8-9 miles north of Bismarck past our last subdivision, that's very remote up there. It's actually hilly. It's got some buttes. It's got a lot of ravines. And there's not a lot of roads that crisscross the entire, you know, the area. It is very remote. I mean, that is mostly farmland and pasture land up there. And, you know, I would say there'd be plenty of places that, you know, something could be hidden.
Suddenly, I find myself eager to drive to the area of Baldwin, North Dakota. Maybe not on Thanksgiving, though, because right now everything is covered in snow, but maybe later in the spring, as Ray suggested himself.
But yeah, if you wanted to drive around up there, like I said, in the spring, I mean, right now you could drive around in the snow. That's all we're going to see is snow. But I'd even be willing to go with a ride. I mean, I could show you around a little bit up in that area.
So that will have to wait, I guess. And meanwhile, while we all wait for the long winter to pass, what can be done on Shelley's case, if anything? Actually, Ray, he has a plan himself. You mentioned also you might be looking into the Juulsen case with your criminal justice class.
Yeah, I was running that by my coworkers, and we might use the podcast and let them evaluate evidence and see if they can come up with some theories on their own. And of course, if they'd come up with anything interesting that's new, I'd probably give you a call. And I'd even like to maybe have you come in and talk to them once they've heard the podcast.
While Ray and his students work on that, I wondered, what, if anything, could I still do to find answers about whatever happened to Shelley? Because some might say there's nothing left to do. James, you've done about all you can. You're at the end of the road. Perhaps. It's too bad we can't travel back to 1994 and drive north of the Burnt Creek Club and explore the countryside, searching for the red roads of Burley County. Or can we? Ed Murphy, geologist for the state of North Dakota, thinks maybe we can.
The Soil Conservation Committee, the North Dakota Soil Conservation Committee, tracks gravel and scoria pits in North Dakota, and so they put out an annual statement, and they might be able to go back and based on theirs, if the county doesn't, so they might be able to say when a pit opened in an area and give you some information in case the county doesn't have it. But the Burley County engineer.
So maybe we're not at the end of the road after all, at least not just yet. In fact, maybe a dead-end red country road is exactly what we should be looking for. Dakota Spotlight is a production of Forum Communications, written, researched, and recorded by me, James Wallner. Special thanks to my colleagues at Forum Communications for lending us their voices. That's Jim Manny, Trisha Tarinskas, Chris Kurzman, and Jeremy Fugelberg. Music by Wowza in Kalamazoo. You can check them out by searching Wowza in Kalamazoo on bandcamp.com. And why not join the Dakota Spotlight Facebook group or follow me on Twitter at Dakota Spotlight. Once again, until next time, thank you so much for listening to Dakota Spotlight. Thank you so much for listening. To support my work, get early access, listen ad-free, and much more, please consider subscribing to Spotlight Plus. Apple users can even subscribe right in the Apple Podcasts app. Learn more about Spotlight Plus at dakotaspotlight.com.